We're going to switch gears now, and we have Colonel Nolan on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. And I'm going to let my co-host, Larry, just tell us a little bit about you. You're listening to WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, Surreal News Show.
Welcome, Colonel Dan Nolan, to our program. Colonel Nolan is a 26-year veteran of the Army. During his military career, he commanded the 1st Armored Division Artillery in Germany and Kosovo, as well as served as principal advisor to General Tommy Franks at U.S. Central Command up the road here in Tampa, which is where he resides today. He spent time in Afghanistan, Kosovo, Iraq, Washington, D.C., and understands the complexity of these varied environments. We're just saying goodbye to our previous guest, Don. Thank you very much for dropping by the studio. Colonel Nolan is a graduate of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, holds a Master's of Arts from the Naval War College, as well as a Master's of Science from the University of Southern California. Dan Nolan, welcome. And we have been following here on the Surreal News this treaty signing now for some time. And a couple of weeks ago, we had the pleasure of speaking with
David Hoffman.
David, I was trying to struggling for his first name. David Hoffman, who was very actively involved in the same issue. There's been some. We know that the Senate is where this vote resides today. Give us a little bit of an update of what's going on there now.
Well, as I speak, I'm in the Russell Senate Building in Washington, D.C. The senators will be looking at. Of course, there's a number of things that are on the table right now. The military budget, the National Defense Authorization Act, as well as a tax cut. So, START, although is incredibly important, there are still some political games being played that may push it a little bit down the road. But this is really a treaty that must be ratified and ratified soon.
So where are we now? I understand that some of the verification process is no longer in place because of an expiration of a treaty. Is that correct?
Well, the previous treaty expired in December of last year, so those verification processes are not in place, which means that we don't really know what's going on inside Russia in terms of their strategic nuclear weapons, which also means that they could be susceptible to theft by terrorists, any number of things. We just don't know. So we're at grave risk for not having this treaty in place.
And there's been a number of former secretaries of state, former members, high members in defense of multiple administrations with different bipartisan Democrat, Republican, have come out and said how necessary this is for national security. Can you think of any reason other than to try to hijack Obama politically that anybody would have for not verifying this treaty?
I cannot. That seems to be the only purpose for putting the American public at grave risk. It's unconscionable.
All right, so for example, on the TV we heard a little bit of rhetoric about, all right, there's some particular aspects of the treaty that they might want to take a little bit longer to look at, that maybe they haven't had enough time to look at it in detail. Do you think that those would be valid reasons for either delaying or not ratifying this bill?
I can tell you that the folks in the Senate, the staffers are working almost around the clock. I was here last night till about 8 o'clock, and they showed no sign of letting up. So they've got plenty of time, and if something as critically important as this, that's a pretty poor excuse. The other thing is that the what the treaty accomplishes is well understood. There are three things that I have heard that people have found fault with. One is that it doesn't address tactical nuclear weapons. Well, it's a strategic arms treaty. None of the START treaties have addressed tactical weapons. But until we get the strategic policy in place, we can't address the tactical.
Second, could you at some point explain what that means? What's the difference between tactical and strategic?
Well, and my background is as a tactical nuclear weapons planner. So the difference between a tactical nuclear weapon and a strategic nuclear weapon is the targeting sets. Typically, the strategic nuclear weapons are used against population centers, and they're used against industrial capability. So they're very, very large systems. The tactical nuclear weapons are smaller, sometimes less than a a kiloton of yield, and those are designed for battlefield use to break up enemy formations. But the fact is, any nuclear weapon that's used today is a strategic weapon. It has strategic implications. So that whole discussion about, well, it doesn't cover these, is really a useless argument.
Please finish.
The other aspect is there was concern about that the this would compromise the work we're doing on the ballistic missile defense program, which is absolutely false. The director of the ballistic missile defense program, Lieutenant General O'Reilly, has said we absolutely need this program. It has no effect on us. Another one of the arguments was that Russia would have downsized their nuclear force anyway. Well, I'd rather not trust to the good nature of Mr. Putin. I'd rather have a treaty that required it.
Was the statement made by the government of Belarus that they're decommissioning all of the nuclear potential or capabilities they have sitting inside of that country? I don't know if I have it exactly right, but whatever the right statement of that is that having an effect at all on the dialogue?
It is, from the standpoint they're saying, well, gosh, they would have done this anyway. And it's not that I don't trust the good people of Belarus, but I'd like to verify what's being done. I can't remember who it was, but I think there was a guy that once said trust but verify.
Oh, yeah, that guy who used to be in the movies.
Yeah, that's the one. And the fact of the matter is, he's right. That's what we've got to be able to do. And right now, members of his own party are being obstreperous in this and obstructing this effort.
How about the military and the possible effect of Colin Powell coming out in favor of the treaty? Is that having an influence?
Oh, absolutely. Every serving senior military officer has come out in favor of this, saying it must be done. Secretary Gates, Admiral Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, each of the chiefs of the services have said this must be done. It's, as I said, it's unconscionable that anybody would be standing in the way of this important treaty.
Specifically, where is Senator McCain on this? Because wouldn't he be kind of the key Republican on this issue?
He is the key Republican, but again, it's Senator Kyle that is being the obstruction right now.
But do we know where McCain stands? I mean, McCain is a guy with some military chops. Kyle is just a political hack who throws marbles down the road to make Obama slip and slide.
Well, gosh, those aren't my words, but they are my sentiments. I absolutely.
This is community radio.
I got it, buddy. No, you know, you're absolutely right. And I don't actually know where McCain is, where his current position is, but what I understood is that he's looked favorably on passing the treaty.
All right. Well, the vote should be coming up during this lame duck session. Is there still hope that'll happen?
The expectation will come up within the next 2 weeks.
And I understand that you are local to this area. You're here in Florida, correct?
I'm a proud resident of Valrico, Florida, what we like to call Little McDill.
All right.
it's where all us military guys could afford to live.
So, as ordinary citizens, what can we do? I feel like this treaty is important, and it would protect me and my family, and future generations. Anything that we could do?
Pick up the phone today and call Senator Nelson and tell him that Dan Nolan's coming to see him at 2:00 today, and we need to get this START treaty moving. That it's putting our nation at unreasonable risk. It's allowing terrorists to get access to nuclear weapons, and we must get this done immediately.
Sounds pretty serious. Will you be also visiting Senator Lemieux?
We do not have a meeting scheduled with Senator Lemieux.
Because he's a Republican from here, right?
As I understand.
Now, has Nelson said that he's not going to vote for this?
No, Nelson's doing it. Actually, I'm up here on another issue looking at climate change and what we can do to help the government have a more focused effort in putting together the task force necessary to take action in the event that we have another climate disaster.
And isn't that sort of your niche personally? You're an expert in the military's role with climate change and energy, is that correct?
That's where I wouldn't call myself an expert because I'm way too humble. But yes, that's where I focus most of my efforts.
A humble colonel. I want you back.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing.
We want to talk to you about climate change. Will you come back another time? And
I would be delighted. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we're at the end of today's segment, but please come back. I'm very interested in, for example, the new jet fuel and other things that the military could do to help with climate change. Thank you so much.
You've got my number. I hope to hear from you soon.
Excellent. Thank you.